Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I want you to think this morning about the last 6 weeks and what you've been doing. And then compare that with what the disciples have been through in that last 6 weeks. Beginning with Palm Sunday, they've been with Jesus, who they've been with for some time, and they were walking into Jerusalem, and the people were shouting, "Hosanna in the highest. Here's the Messiah coming." A few days later, Jesus was in the temple, overturning the tables. A few days later, he was with his disciples in that upper room with that meal that we will be celebrating later this morning. It all went by so quick. The entry into Jerusalem, the crowd turning on Jesus and shouting, "Crucify him!" Then the Last Supper. Jesus' arrest, his trial, and his execution. Think if you had been there, what emotions there would have been. The joy, the outrage, all these emotions coming together. And then watching your friend that had been with you for 3 years, being nailed to a cross. It was over. That was the end of it. Nailed to a cross. He was dead. He was put in a tomb. And then there was the joy 3 days later of Jesus being raised from the dead. All this in just over a week. The joy of knowing Jesus was back and was alive. And then they were told to go to Jerusalem, to go to the mountain and wait there for Jesus. Something special was going to happen. And then we get his last words to the disciples. The Great Commission, it's called, where he tells them to go into all the world and make disciples of all men. That was wonderful words that he gave, but then he gave them a promise, and it's those words in Matthew 28 verse 20, "And I will be with you always to the end of the age." Those were promises made to the disciples. And they're also made to us because we are heirs and descendants, spiritual heirs and descendants of those disciples. Those words were meant for us. Whether you think it was conditional and going out into the world or not, they are meant for us. It was a promise for us. In that hymn, the promises that we just sang, that chorus, it really tied in with what I'm saying. The promises of God are for us because we are the spiritual descendants and heirs to those disciples. But promises, some promises we can count on. Those of us that got wallets, we all got a note in there saying, I promise to pay the bearer. Mind you, since COVID, how many of us carry around money? It's always the plastic card. But the promise is there on those pound notes, but we don't get pound notes now, the 5 pound notes in the 20s, etc. I promise to pay the bearer. A promise that is good. In all the time that notes have been printed with that promise on, they've never been refused by the Bank of England. So some promises are good. Did you have elections here this week? No. Well, promises made by politicians. Some of those promises we can't rely on. Sad to say. And I believe that there needs to be more honesty in our politicians at the moment. But promises of God we can rely on. As I googled the other day to find out how many promises there are in the Bible. And I was really surprised to find out that there are over 7,000 promises in the Bible, going back to the time of Abraham and the promises. And those promises were kept. The promise that God made to Noah about seed time and harvest will never fail. And what that meant was that there would be enough food for everybody in the world. And there is enough food for everybody in the world. It's just that some of us are greedy. It's a promise that God has kept, and yet we have let down people. Promises of God. When I was a mere lad, not long ago, no, it was a long time ago, I used to go to Sunday school and also to a meeting called the Band of Hope on a Monday night. And we learnt a lot of choruses. And I'm sure some of you will remember some of the choruses that you sang. Only a boy called David, only a babbling brook, only a boy called David, 5 little stones he took. Deep and wide, deep and wide. But one chorus that we learnt, and it's been sung in ladies' meetings. Certainly in South Bristol, we used to have a lot of ladies' meetings called Bright Hours, they were called. And they always sang choruses. And this chorus that I learnt as a boy came back to me. I am standing on the promise of God my Father. Standing on the promises of God. And when you look at the promises that are in the Bible, you can see that people stood on those promises. The promises that Jesus made. We can stand on those promises. He will give you strength. He will give you peace. When you read through Matthew chapter 5 and those sayings that we call the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. These are promises that Jesus made. He made them to those people 2,000 years ago, but those promises are for us here today. And we can stand on those promises. Going back to the Great Commission, as it's called, I just wanted to put this in. It only came to me this morning, but the Great Commission to go into all the world and make disciples. What does that mean? It means each one of us has a job to do. There was a report come out, I think in the last couple of years, from the Church of England. And they have decided that to be able to go out into the world and make disciples, they needed to do three things. They needed to make the gospel simpler to people, be more humble about preaching that gospel, but be bolder about preaching the gospel. Simpler, humbler, bolder. And I want you to think on those three words during the next 3 weeks. How can we make the gospel simpler to the people out there? How can we be more humble to the people out there? And how can we be bolder? Simpler, humbler, bolder. Getting back to the promises, because I got that out of turn there. The promises that God makes. And we can do those three things, be bolder, simpler, and humbler. Because the next thing that happened to those disciples after Jesus had left them was they were told to go and wait. And then just 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came. And they were able to take the message out onto the streets. They didn't set up big churches. They took it out onto the streets. And they were bold. Bold in preaching the gospel. After all, it is a very simple message that God sent his Son to save the world. Over lockdown, Margaret and I left the church that we were at. And we've decided that we won't get involved with church. I keep telling people that I have lost my faith in church, but my faith in God has been so much strengthened that we got to be reaching out, not to the people in church, but to the people outside. We have to accept the promise that God gives us of the Holy Spirit to lead us, to show us the way. Ask yourself this question: how many of you, or how many friends have you got that are not Christians? It was so easy for Margaret and I to make friends with people in the church, to invite people for meals from in the church. But during lockdown, it gave us time to think about what was really needed. People who were lonely, who were in need of a listening ear, somebody to talk to. We haven't seen people rush to church. We've certainly got one person who says, "Well, I'd like to come to church with you one day." I would bring them to this church, but I'll tell you what, there's some churches I wouldn't take them to. We need to be simpler. We need to be more humble, and we need to be bolder. I ask you just now to put yourself in the shoes, or rather the sandals, of the disciples, and how they were during that time. Such a difficult time for them. All the emotions. But they can stand. They could stand on the promises of Jesus because they saw it with their own eyes. And we too can stand. Stand on the promises of God, our Saviour. Amen. We are going to sing now a really great hymn. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, Messiah. I take it it's that one. I only got the... Yes, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One.
Going to share communion together, and when you came in, were you given a little communion cup? Is anyone missing that? No, all is well. Paul said, I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread or drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And it's what sets Bible-believing Christianity apart from all the other great world philosophies, that our faith is not based on what we do for our Saviour, how many meetings we attend, how often we read our scriptures, how many verses we can place in the correct chapter, how many people we know at church, what responsibilities we've got. It's nothing about that. It's all to do with what he did for us on the cross. He knows us through and through. He knows just exactly that we are made of straw and that our glory puffs itself up for a while and then it comes to the end of its earthly life. But Christianity is based on what our Saviour has done for us. And so we remember that the Lord's body was broken for each one of us. He offered himself up knowingly that it would be a ghastly thing to do, a ghastly time. It was the only way that salvation could be purchased for you and for me. His blood was shed. Those of us who've had a bit of medical insight realize that blood goes to every cell of our bodies. The glorious parts, the inglorious parts, the bits that we keep covered up and the bits that we expose. And so the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was shed that each one of us here and each believing Christian down through history should know that this salvation can be for them. So as we prepare to take of this bread, Brian, will you just lead us in a prayer, please, for the bread here?
Lord, we thank you for the work that you've done on the cross for us. We thank you that you died there. You gave your body, represented by this bread. We thank you, Lord, that you gave your life that we might be free, that salvation is for us, and that salvation is for all if they recognize your death on the cross, represented here by this bread. Lord, we thank you for the bread. Amen.
Amen. And so let's eat the bread together. And as we take this wine, Lord, we remember your blood shed for us, that blood which was to deal with the evil and the sin that would have seen you just snuffed out. But oh, how we thank you that you build hope in our hearts. You give us a godly optimism for the future, and not just us here in Rington, but those who are today in the Ukraine or other trouble spots of this world. That men and women can celebrate this breaking of bread, this communion, and remember your goodness to each one. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's share the wine together. And Lord, having participated in this communion, we just want to remember those with particular and special needs in our fellowship. We lift up to you Frieda and Martin. It's a joy that Frieda can be with us. Bless her, Lord, to overflowing, and be unto Martin all that he and his medical team need. We remember Lenny, who would once have always been worshipping with us, but now is detained through circumstances. We lift up to you Derek and Wendy, remembering the many, many years that they have worshipped here. We ask your blessing for Alistair, Lord, with his detached retina, and ask that might be continuing well. And thank you that Nicola's tendon seems to be repairing itself. And Lord, we lift up to you John and Debbie Baker and ask a particular blessing on them. And while, Lord, in the frailty of our memory, we bring names to you, we remember and acknowledge and rejoice that those names that we don't feel able to raise in public or might have slipped our minds never will slip your mind. And so we lift up to you, Lord, those in particular need this morning. You know who they are, and we join our prayers. We pray for a particular youngster that Julia knows who has an eating disorder, and we just ask that situation may also be moving in the right direction. We openly acknowledge, Lord, it's difficult for us to understand the challenges that some people face. But oh, we thank you that for all the shallowness of our spirituality, you have given us insight into the love of Jesus for each one of us and for each of those who are named in this place, and we rejoice. Amen. Amen. Brian, will you lead us in prayer, please, for the wider world?
Lord, we come before you now and we bring the prayers for the wider world, a world that you created, a world that we have broken. We've broken it, Lord, with wars. And we think especially of the wars in the Ukraine. We see it, Lord, as a completely unjust war. But there are other views. But turn each of us to peace. And it's not only the wars in Ukraine. We pray about the wars in Syria, in the Yemen. All these other wars seem to have gone off our screens. But Lord, people are dying because we cannot live in peace with our fellow man. And Lord, we pray the peace of the greatest peacemaker there has ever been, Jesus. We pray Jesus' peace into the different parts of the world where there is no peace. Lord, we have broken your world because of our greed. We see people that are starving in other countries, and yet we and our supermarkets and our shops throw so much food away. Lord, help us to live more simply so that others may simply live. Lord, we have broken your world by polluting it. All of us, Lord, use too much plastic. We waste energy. Lord, help us to use the resources of your world more wisely and fairly. Lord, we have broken your world by not sharing with the people around us. We see people on the streets of Bristol begging. We hear about people in children in South America on the streets. Lord, help us to be a more caring and sharing society. The promise you gave us, the world is your world. Lord, recreate us. Recreate us in the image of Jesus.
Amen.
In whose name we pray these prayers.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory. Thank you, Brian. One of Paul's prayers in Ephesians is that I pray out of his glorious riches. The Lord may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Glory. And so we're going to sing our last hymn together, Tell Out My Soul.
Tell out my soul, the greatness of his word.
come forward for prayer or to see one of the deacons or one of your friends to talk about anything on your heart this morning, then please come forward and do so. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us and all whom we should love, now and forevermore.
Glory.
Amen.